Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side.
Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Tuesday morning. And it's 9 o'clock. That means we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in our good friend Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports. Charles, how we doing? What's going on?
How you guys doing today?
We are doing wonderful. Doing a wonderful today here in Nashville. And Charles, obviously, the Super Bowl matchup is set. Tom Brady and the Bucs taking on Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. Let's focus in on Brady to start. What kind of an accomplishment is this for him to get this team to the Super Bowl in his first year in Tampa Bay?
I mean, it's immense. You know, to sit there and really contemplate everything that went into this. And, you know, I thought about this. I got into it on Twitter with somebody who was saying, well, the Bucs hadn't gone all in for Brady. And, I mean, you know, they draft Tristan Wirfs for this guy. They trade for Gronk. They sign Antonio Brown. They give him $50 million in guaranteed money and tell him, you know, this sets the two-year window. It's yours. The team's yours. We're not going to bring in a young quarterback. There's nobody behind you. This is your franchise. You know, he runs workouts in the middle of the pandemic when the league office was just red hot angry about that and did not want him doing it. And the Bucks just said, nope, we're going to let him do what he wants to do. You know, they retooled parts of the scheme. You know, they did a lot of tweaks. I think that bye week was really key, just getting that offense where they needed to get it. You know, you signed Leonard Fournette. That's another guy that I think that push was made, you know, for Brady. And so I think you have to get a lot of credit to Jason Light, the general manager, Bruce Arians, the head coach. But there's something about Brady. I can't really, you know, I was talking to my colleague Dan Wetzel about it, what it is that he brings to the table. You don't just get to 10 Super Bowls, and you don't do it with two different teams. You don't do it your first year after switching. And I think part of that probably boils down to belief. Just this guy carries something with him that I think really raises and lifts locker rooms, teams. It just fills them with a sense of what can be accomplished just by playing with him and listening to him and being on the field with him. And, you know, it's interesting because NFL Films does have, you know, these clips from Super Bowls or playoff runs, and you get these players or even opponents where they catch them talking about Brady. And I think that's part of what maybe gives you a little bit of a window into the rarity of what he is, just the mindset that he affects not only the people on his team, but the opposing sideline.
Which came in handy Sunday because he threw 3 picks in the second half and his defense carried him to a Super Bowl. But, you know, I'm known as the Brady hater in Nashville. He's a great player.
I'll say this. The point that I made coming out of the game, I ended up writing about this, and it was really through the Aaron Rodgers lens. You know, Brady was not the best quarterback on the field that day. He just wasn't. You know, Rodgers outplayed him. Brady had a great year this year, but I wouldn't have put him in the top 2 or 3 quarterbacks probably this season. Yet, when you go back and watch that game, so when I watched it, the first time I watched it, I thought, man, he really had a bad performance. The second time, just pretty mediocre. The second time I watched it, you know, the picks weren't quite as bad. You know, the Mike Evans, it was the ball sailed, but, you know, Evans got his hands on it, so it wasn't a great ball, wasn't the worst ball ever. You know, the guy was able to put his hands on it. You know, the 50-50 ball that he threw up for Mike Evans, clearly Evans part of that was a miscommunication. You know, I think that Evans was not looking for that ball when Brady threw it up. It was still a bad ball. I think of those three picks, the one that he threw was, I can't remember which exact pick, like in terms of the chronological order of it, but you could see he saw the safety coming over. He threw it anyway, and it just was not, there was no, in no sense was it a good ball. It was a really bad pick. But he also made plays down the stretch that were key. You know, there were times where they were in the red zone and you had to absolutely have the ball right where it needed to be. The Scotty Miller touchdown pass was a great ball. You know, getting the one big play that Gronkowski made, he gets the ball to him in space, perfect timing. So it's, you know, he's not the Tom Brady of, you know, 5, 6, 7 years ago, but, he still is a great player, and there's a lot more that I think goes into him when you talk about him being the GOAT than just, you know, the typical things that we talk about, a fire hose arm or somebody who's great at, you know, the off-script stuff that we love with quarterbacks nowadays, or, you know, somebody who's 6'5 and, you know, 240. He's not really any of those things. So he gets it done in a way that I don't know, just sets him apart, I think, from everybody else. I mean, we look back at Montana, and let's be honest, Montana was never Elway. You know, he was never the athlete that John Elway was. He was never, he never had the arm of a Dan Marino, and yet you stack those guys up. I personally, I'm like, that Montana transcended those guys because he could win championships, and he had a mentality and a timeliness that he brought to the table that made him different.
Yeah, no, and I think that's a good comparison for Brady. Is the physical talent, there are a lot of people better than those guys,
right.
But that's not what it's all about. So, question that some are asking in this town, I'm not really, but some are, so I'll throw it to you. Do you think the Titans screwed up by prioritizing Tannehill rather than making a run at Tom Brady, Vrabel's buddy?
I don't know. It's hard to answer that because there were things that came along with Tom that you had to be okay with. And again, I think Tom was leaning into Arians. And I think that, you know, I know he and Mike Vrabel have a relationship. And, you know, obviously Arthur Smith is who he is. But, you know, Tom's known Bruce for, you know, he's known Bruce's reputation for having worked with guys, great quarterbacks, for a really long time. I think you like the mentality of Bruce being a really aggressive guy. And I think he also knew, you know, in the limited time that he had to talk to Bruce Arians, that Arians was going to let Tom apply himself in whatever way he felt was necessary. And, you know, I don't know that the Titans would have necessarily won that out if they had prioritized it. You know, if you go back, if everybody was really being honest about it, and this will never happen now, if Drew Brees had retired, if say he had taken the TV job last year, I think Tom would have ended up in New Orleans. And I think once New Orleans was off the table, I think he was far more enamored with Tampa Bay than a lot of people had realized. From what I was told by a couple of people that were tight with Brady, the process that he really went through in choosing the franchise was studying the roster, studying the offensive coordinator, how comfortable he'd be, the head coach, the skill position players, and then also getting an idea of what the willingness would be for the franchise to go out and do all these different things that needed to be done in terms of, you know, drafting the right guy, trading for Rob Gronkowski, being willing to give up assets. And Antonio Brown, no matter what Bruce Arians says, Antonio Brown was always someone that Tom wanted factored into that equation as long as he, you know, didn't screw up before he was going to come off of his suspension. And I don't know, I honestly don't know if Nashville would have been willing to roll the dice with that. Frankly, I was surprised that Bruce Arians was, given some of the comments he had made about Antonio Brown in the past, but you know, when you're all in, you're all in. And I think Brady continued to press that all the way up to the point of that signing.
Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And Charles, a quarterback that soon could be on the market, Matthew Stafford and the Lions coming to an agreement that he's not going to be there next year. And a team that Joe and I have linked has been the Indianapolis Colts. and the fit that he could have there. If Stafford is on the Colts, how dangerous does that make the Colts in this division next year?
Well, I think Matt Stafford has a good 2 to 3 years of really high level. Like, I think he's going to make a massive difference, you know, where he lands. It all depends. Like, we'll see. I think the Colts, the interesting thing when you talk about the veterans and some of these other teams with quarterbacks and what are they going to do, and, you know, even with the cap problems, maybe the Saints, you know, once Drew retires, maybe the Saints will want to, you know, take a shot at another quarterback. And I know Sean Payton really likes Matt Stafford a lot. They're a little bit hogtied by their cap situation. But, you know, San Francisco, I think San Francisco will probably kick the tires on, or, you know, probably right now is having those conversations about Matt Stafford. You know, I think the Colts make the most sense because they have to be aggressive about filling a starting quarterback spot. They have the salary cap space, and they have the window. And that's definitely going to be something that I think Matt Stafford is looking for, the window, the ability to go in and compete for a Super Bowl in 2021, 2022, 2023. And I think that's the Colts. So it makes sense that that's the most sensible team to have lined up, particularly given that, you know, Carson Wentz isn't going anywhere in Philly, and I think they prioritize Matt Stafford over Carson Wentz anyway. But the Colts, I think, hold the key to what's going to happen with some of the veteran quarterback moves in the offseason.
Well, that's not encouraging news for Titans fans. If he ends up there, to me, that makes that team clearly the best in this division. So what about Watson? What about Rodgers? Is Aaron Rodgers, was he just heat of the moment, or is this a possibility?
No, it's not heat of the moment. So Rodgers, here's the deal with Rodgers. Rodgers has been thinking about this for a while, okay? Like, this is something that he has been doing a slow burn on this. You know, you can go back all the way to Jordan Love, but I think even as the season unfolded, you know, Rodgers knew, I think he was upset that more things weren't done in the offseason in terms of improving, you know, the team. They had a more aggressive offseason the year before, and that they kind of sat on their hands this last offseason. I think that after drafting Jordan Love, and this is natural, any quarterback would have done this in his position, I think Rodgers sat there and looked at his money and said, you know, realistically, how committed are they to me? And then he looks at what happens with Brady and the Buccaneers saying, hey, here's $50 million in guaranteed money. You know your window. This is yours. We're not walking from $50 million in guaranteed money. Well, you know, Rodgers' contract doesn't really guarantee him anything but one more year there. And so in a weird way, he's almost like a coach potentially entering his last year. And you know how coaches feel about that. They don't do that. They want extensions or they want, you know, another year tacked on or some kind of commitment. And I think Rodgers wants that. I think he wants the Packers to look at him. And then frankly, I think I can tell you with some confidence, he's going to sit down with the front office. And he's going to say, here's the deal. Here's what my money looks like. I want something figured out that guarantees me the next couple years, at least give me a two-year window like Tom just got in Tampa. And here are the guys that I want you to consider keeping on the Packers and maybe some guys that I want you to consider potentially pursuing. And I think if the Packers look at him and go, nah, you know, we're not going to do that. We're not going to let you dictate, you know, what the situation is. I think Rodgers is going to tell him, okay, let's figure out a way to part company here and try to do this as amicably as possible. And I think the reason why he chose the moment after the game to say that is because he knew, given the pandemic and everything else, I don't think he knew when he was going to be in front of the media again. And I think Rodgers knew he had it set in his mind, regardless of what the emotion of the situation might be, that if they lost that game, he was going to make sure he mentioned his situation. He did that on purpose. People who are saying it was just an emotional reaction, just not true. Go back to Wednesday before the game. He talked about, oh, my unknown future, whatever he called it, the beautiful mystery of my future. But he also said, he talked about things being out of his control. He wasn't talking about the Super Bowl. He wasn't talking about the NFC title game. He was talking about his status with the team and the number of guys that were going to be up and him looking at the changing state of the team and then what the commitment was financially to him. He's not a dumb guy. He knows exactly what he's doing. He knew what he was doing after the game. And I think if the Packers just push back and tell them, we're not going to, you know, take a wrench to this team for you, Rodgers is going to ask them to trade him. It's going to happen.
Charles, last thing for you here. What do you think about Deshaun Watson and this saga continuing to unfold in Houston? Where do you think he ends up to start the 2021 season?
Well, I would like to think that the coaching hire could still potentially affect the situation. I know that's what the Texans are hoping. So I think that the real finalists now are it's Leslie Frazier, the defensive coordinator of the Bills, and I think Eric Bieniemy, the OC of the Chiefs, are really the two that they're drilling down on. And I think they hope that when they come to terms with the coach, this coach can reach out to Watson and start to rebuild a bridge. But the problem is not about the coach. You know, I talked to a couple of people in the organization and then a couple of people close to Watson, and it's clear it's Cal McNair. It's the owner. For whatever reason, Deshaun got in his mind that McNair told him he was going to be an integral part of the process when they hired a general manager and then when they hired a head coach. The Texans' take on it is that they told Watson, that McNair told Watson, we will make sure you are involved in the process. But they were looking at it as like, hey, we're going to tell you what we're doing. We're going to keep you abreast of everything so you know what's going on, but not necessarily, hey, we're going to bring you in and make you a decision maker in the room when we do this. So clearly they saw this, you know, this communication between Watson and ownership completely from different vantage points, and that's the problem here. I know that he's interested in the Jets. I know he likes Robert Saleh. I will tell you about the Jets. They're making an evaluation right now on Sam Bradford. They're thinking about, you know, the asset outlay it would take, you know, to acquire a quarterback like a Watson, and that's going to weigh pretty heavily on them. I don't know that the Jets are really – if this is going to take three first-round picks, I don't know that the Jets are and remember, you're also committing the money and everything else. Plus, remember, Woody Johnson just got back into the fold there. There's a lot of moving parts right now with the Jets, so I don't think that's really smooth. I still think right now the ball is sort of resting in the Texans' hands, and if they can't figure it out with the head coach, that's when, you know, this thing will really start to pick up steam.
Josh McCown will do it. Just get him in there, baby.
The Josh McCown interview, I mean, is like a Jack Easterby special. It's hilarious. and the fact that not only it got out there, but the Texans own, like, social accounts, that they actually, you know, push that information out there a little bit further. I'm not big into conspiracy theories, but I'm telling you, so somebody close to Watson's like, I think Easterby wants this kid out. I think he wants to push him out of the organization, and that's part of the reason why the McCown thing got out there and that, you know, they even backed it up. Because, you know, you could have just kept that quiet, not really. or just say, hey, you know, we think he could be a coach in the future, so we wanted to give him an interview. This has nothing to do with now, but we're thinking down the line. You know, you could have played a lot differently than they did, and what a mess. I'll tell you what, man, when John McClain, you know, it just, I mean, he ripped that franchise. And John McClain is not, he's a very down the kind of middle guy here. He's very, you know, he tries to be as fair as possible to the organization. And, man, he really let that one rip. He hammered the org. And when that happens, you're like, okay, that's a sign that there's some upheaval, not only within the team, but I think within the journalists who are covering the team.
Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports has been our guest here on Robbie and Rexford. Charles, great stuff, man. Appreciate you taking time to join us as always.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, guys. Be safe, all right?
You as well. Charles Robinson, one of the best in the business. When we come back, we'll react to a little bit of what Charles had to say there on the quarterback front. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rexford here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.